Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is mystic Vajrayana. She is the Enlightened Life Facilitator, and she seems to be a very energetic lady. She's engaged in much else, which we will no doubt come across when we speak to her. So welcome to the program.
Blessings and greetings to you, Michael Quincy. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. Let's start with your title there, the Enlightened Life Facilitator. What does that mean in terms of someone who is seeking information and knowledge from you?
The title is what best identifies the collective of my information that's available to the world. Between having been on the planet for more than 50 years this lifetime and also being aware of who I am as a galactic being. And when a person realizes that our biggest dramas in this life are that we look at one another, and because I look like you, if I don't have 1,400 degrees behind my name, human beings tend to devalue each other. So the universe, my ethereal teams guided me to label myself as such so that people can understand that they are beyond this plane beings that are here, and the way to be here is to become enlightened about your whole self. So that kind of covers what I'm able to share with people under that umbrella.
Right. Now, you've mentioned about being a galactic being, and I understand your Pleiadian name is Sula Sula, which means a purified light bringer. Is there any meaning to your earthly name, which is Vajrayana?
Yes, it is. Vajrayana is Sanskrit. It means thunderbolt and diamond. And if you think about it, it's very relative to the way information comes in. Thunder strikes before lightning, so it cuts through the ethers and it makes way for light, which is information.
Right. That's a very interesting explanation and a very unusual name. Right, now, your purpose is to be instrumental in awakening humanity's intention to shift into whole self awareness and human self enabling. Where did you get your own knowledge and information to be able to do that?
Well, starting way back when I was in my early 30s, I really got into astrology, and I was just drawn by all of these taboos here in the Earth realm in the USA. So when we're looking at the Earth journey, and then you move up into your galactic level journey, it is the collective, because the Earth journey can lead you up into a hunger, a burning desire. I call it an insatiable desire to just know. And, you know, the whys of life can go on forever, but people that have a burning, deep, relentless, burning desire to understand the whys of life are also mystics. They just don't, they're not aware of what that means yet. So my earthly journey led to my awareness of my galactic heritage, and as my DNA was triggered more and more, the galactic level of knowledge comes in. So I'm able to lead people into optimizing their human journey by understanding that they have other levels of their being on other planes of existence, and it's all relative. And it's
right.
Easy to help people see it that way than becoming just another person that's trying to teach them to ascend.
Yes. I certainly believe myself that we have other aspects of ourselves. Now, how early in your life did you know that you were a Pleiadian?
Not till I was I was past 40. I was actually 40 something, in my late 40s. I was doing spiritual readings at the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore, which has become a world-renowned facility. and Rebecca Hofberger allowed me to do readings in the library. And at that point, there was an unusual collection being exhibited called The End is Near. And while I was preparing for my sessions, I would wander all over the place, and I came upon this collection. And I'm looking at all of this stuff. It's a newscaster from way back in the 20s used to go off into the Redwood Forest, and he would receive all these downloads. And there was this drawing of this person. And I looked at all of this stuff, and I looked at her real good. I said, you know, she looks like me. You know, so, and I didn't think anything of it. I took the stuff home, and I played with all the geometry and all of that stuff. I couldn't figure it out, and so I let it go, but I kept it. It was, the universe marks us. Sometimes when you run across something and it grabs you like that, it doesn't mean you're supposed to unravel the mystery right away. So it was actually a few years later that I came into it, and then the downloads, and then because I counsel with spirit through a pendulum on purpose, because when we're only working in our head, no matter how conscious we are, we can be misled. Pendulum, you cannot be misled. So I have reconfirmed it a million times over and started connecting with some others here, because most of the teachings, unfortunately, make it sound like Pleiadians are somewhere far off and they're only being channeled in through other people. There are Pleiadian humans here, just like there are people from other agencies here, and it's all for the benefit of waking up humanity.
Yes, I certainly agree with that also. Mm-hmm. Since you found out that you were Pleiadian, did you then have any direct contact with them?
No, because the what hasn't been taught, when I say taught, I'm speaking about through the Barbara Marciniak and through the hand cloud woman, what hasn't been taught, and I think I've counseled with spirit about it, and I believe because they had the option to bring this through with all their other information, I truly believe they left it for us. They deliberately did not touch that so that we who are here can get our triggers and move into the next layers of our knowledge, and we can introduce people to it. That's what I believe. I didn't confirm that with spirit, but I just know that they had every option to tell people with all of the books and the information, there are those that walk amongst you. But human beings don't believe stuff like that. So I'm glad that they left it, and the fact that I'm now an elder makes it better, because gray hair actually does mean something on planet Earth.
Right. In as much that we all have some link to the space beings, it's interesting to think in terms that there is really no such thing as an Earth being.
That's right. I call them, I've canceled out the word human being. I'm here cleaning up the energetic signatures, exampling the people how changing what they say will begin changing what they experience. So I'm helping to clean up the energetic signatures that we create with all of our bad language, and I'm not speaking about foul language. I'm speaking about misuse of language. So I've ceased calling us human beings. We call them earthlings, because this is just one stop on a billion years of being active all over the universe.
Right, yes. Now, you talk about crystallizing the light, if I understand you correctly. There is said to be changes taking place right now where the energies are changing the body cells from carbon to crystalline. Is that something that comes into your belief?
Well, it comes into my knowingness. Ashayana Dean, and I'm sure you're familiar with her name, she is one of the masters of this new information. She's been working with it for years, and we would call it stumbling into her, but nothing happens before its time. It's our job to be alert and aware and to recognize that which is in sync with us. It will, when your DNA gets triggered, something grabs you. It's an inner thing that propels outer, and human beings don't get it. When anything of any nature grabs you like that, and I'm not speaking about murder or getting hit by a bus, but, you know, whether it's reading or watching something, if it grabs you, it's a mark. I literally write down dates and times for everything. So when I ran into her information, she tells you in one of these long excerpts, she says, just looking at these maps, you will be triggered. And for me, it was just so. So I know who I am as an Adashi adept. I know who I am as an elder councilwoman. And it's nothing to do with the earthly level. It is because of all of that that I am excellent as an ideal guide for those that are moving up into this level of belief, because belief must be in place before it can manifest for you. Just a acorn of belief is all you need.
Right. Now, you're evidently aware that the changes that are taking place are going to result in some kind of upliftment. Are you working towards that in your spiritual guidance and information that you give out?
I've got a couple of programs that I've been guided to put together, and because although less than 0.75% of 1% of humanity is now awakened, it doesn't sound like a lot, but Kryon teaches that is more than enough. That's why we're enjoying the changes that we are enjoying. So my job now is to understand that I am a mystic's mystic, because those that are highly, radically evolved like myself, calling them enlightened like myself, highly awakened, they are still missing their cues, because what happens to many of them is they get so entrenched in their work that they forget their responsibilities to the other ones in the light that are two or three plateaus down beneath them on that spiral staircase, because we have responsibilities to each other in the light as well as responsibilities to our work at the galactic level.
Right.
So whether it's the awakened ones, or technically speaking, the best students, the ideal students for me are the youth, because they do not want to repeat their parents' nightmares. They do not believe this crap that is going on in school, because most of the people that have been into spiritual work for a few years, they seem to be very delighted to pick up a piece here and to pick up a piece there. And I give them the basics, because once you learn how to fly, you can fly anything.
Yes.
So rather than continue to heal your heart, and then you're fine, and now your money's a problem, and then you go find another guru for that, I give them the basics so that they can understand that they have a minimum of nine levels of their being operating on different planes, and whatever they're doing on this plane, a level of their being is doing it on another plane at a much higher rate of success, because this is the lowest frequency planet that I know of is the Earth plane.
Yes, I'm sure you're quite correct there. Now, what exactly do you mean when you talk about focusing on whole self rediscovery? What would people be rediscovering?
Rediscovering that we've covered some of it, that there's more to you than flesh and blood and more to life than here and now. But what they're rediscovering is that everyone, the numbers on the planet of people, Michael, that believe in reincarnation are growing, and they were always kind of thick. But no one in Massé is addressing pre-birth. You know, that would answer a whole bunch of questions if there were 40 million of us that knew we came from somewhere else. So yes. If you can believe that you go somewhere, I mean, to me it's a logical question, well, where the heck did I come from? So my
yes.
objective is to help them understand that the masterful way to handle your human, your earthling energies here is to recognize that this is but a small part of who and what you are, and by my helping them to connect with those other parts, this here becomes a piece of cake.
Right. Do you also believe that our whole self is a part of God?
I don't use that term anymore, but yes, there is one. I call it universal intelligence, cosmic intelligence. Uh-huh. It is not a person. It is energy. And as long as my biggest beef with people right now, the universe has me talking to people that whenever you hear anyone on the radio, on TV, in writing, whenever you hear anyone from now on say everybody this or everybody that, if they are not including after those first words, everybody if they're not, if it's not a negative, realize the only thing everyone that's human on this earth is doing is breathing. That's it. There are people that can't eat, that can't eliminate, that can't talk, that can't walk, that can't think. So the only thing all humans are doing that are alive is breathing. The rest is all variable and degrees.
Right. That's an interesting observation. I haven't heard that one, but it's perfectly correct. Yes. We hope we're breathing anyway.
Yes, yes.
Right. Now, you refer to people as being divine beings, a unique soul. What is it that is unique about us? I mean, are we unique on the earth, or is every soul on whatever planet also unique?
I believe what Ashayana Dean has caused me to remember. See, everything here isn't about learning. It's remembering. Our whole challenge is to remember. And learning how to remember, inducing memory, is what I do. And if you are a person that had a bad memory as a human being, my gifts are to help you understand how there's a reason for everything in life. So to move you beyond trying to just remember this life. We have Ashayana's teachings teach us that every voice has its own signature. It's a radiation signature. It's an encryption. This is why all of my success, all of my ability to connect with people has always been my voice, more so than my in-person self, because there is something about a person's voice, just like your fingerprint. It's like a DNA print. There are no two like you ever in life, anywhere. And you are unique, you are divine, but the key to all of this is people's unique interpretations of words. Have you noticed that in the dictionary, now we've got 14 definitions for one word, so I have gone to each word, and I go in and I pick out the elements that I am using, and I crystallize that. And let people know, when I say divine, I mean this, or when I say metaphysical, because if you don't, and they just charge you the dictionary, they still don't really know what you're talking about.
Yes, that's interesting. Again, you certainly have a very unique approach, I think, to the whole subject. I haven't come across some of your ideas before, so it's extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the apprentice circle that you run? How does that fit in with someone who's interested in following your teachings or your courses or whatever you may call them?
The apprentice circle is designed for people, the only kinds of people that will resonate with my light and counsel with spirit and confirm that I am their ideal person for their next step, are people with some kind of yet unfulfilled, deep, and burning desire. The only people that circle will process are people with it. You can't get it. Money alone won't get you in. I have a long application where I'm just connecting with all of the different levels of experience that people, whether they've been in metaphysics for 6 years, whether they've had psychic readings. I have to get a feel for where they have been individually and then clump that together so that when I'm speaking to them and I am moving them through processes, I've covered all of the bases so that no one is left behind unless they're just not, you know, unless yes. They're still trapped in a belief system that thinks that they paid me and I'm supposed to do something, you know.
Well, yeah, that would be reasonable, I suppose.
Yes, So the idea is, if you've got a burning desire, I don't care what it is, as long as it's not for something that belongs to someone else, if you've got something in this life that you hunger and thirst for, that desire alone, if indeed you understand what, after I teach you what desire is and where it comes from, you can join that circle, and by joining that circle, I'm giving you the foundation of how you operate on the planet so that you can unravel your mysteries, and I just become a touchstone. I'm not looking to create people that need me. You know, all of us that are metaphysicians, if we are only creating people a need for us or a desire is fine, but I've even replaced the words need and want, because those two words indicate that something desired is outside of yourself. So I use desire and require, and I've eliminated need and want. And the word try, I've thrown out about 15 years ago, because try just, it literally is a word that sets you up to fail, because the definition within itself, it tells you that it's a matter of exploring or evaluating through experiencing rather than expecting to be the winner or expecting to break through.
Right. Now, you talk about the old world systems crumbling. If they're crumbling, what do you see that is going to take its place?
Because I have become so centered in this galactic level stuff that I don't look at what it's going to become. I just know, for instance, I'm not into politics, none of it. And when Obama took office, I mean, I watched what happened the day after. I was out in the world the day after the election, and people were just loving and wonderful and whatever. They had great hopes, and here it is less than a year later, and they're all in the dumps, like he's supposed to work absolute magic in 1 year, and it's taken us 50 years to get where we are. So I really haven't given any thought to where we're going. I just know the power of the light, and that we, through exponential growth and through exponentially doing things together, can continue to make the difference. But the darkness is still unfolding. It's going to get worse on the plane itself, here in the U.S. most especially, before it gets better for the masses. But there are those in the light that are still untouched by everything.
Yes. Do you believe that we have the power to recreate our reality?
Thought word by word, thought by thought. It is up to us individually. That's what the exponential growth will be. You know, that's why I think that predominantly, although I have lots of people of all ages that love the light, they love the way I feel, they do what I tell them to do. Don't take my word for anything. Go put a paper clip on a string, learn how to use it, and talk to spirit about it. It answers you through your own body. Don't think that I'm holier than you. I just am awakened more than you so that I can be the example, because I was asleep too. All Pleiadians, wherever we've come from, part of the drama for us is worse than for regular people, because we have been all over the galaxy. We're famous all over the galaxy for all of these wonderful things we do, but when we come here, we have to come as asleep as everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting to note that you say with yourself there is no religiosity or churchianity, but I believe somewhere, do you not refer to Psalms in part of your teaching?
Yes. I came through traditional Christendom, and I was ordained, and I worked with a female bishop, and she taught me a lot of things. So the universe now allows me to freely use scripture. Of course, there will be people that say, oh, but you're taking it out of context. And like when I refer people to Psalms 82, where it says, I have called ye gods. And of course, my brother, who is a retired lieutenant colonel, will tell me, you're taking it out of context. He wasn't talking to this. Or I don't care who. Those are words on a page, and they're for people, okay? I don't care about biblical context, because those aren't even the real Bibles. The real Bibles are locked up in the Vatican walls. So whatever the world is using out here, other than the Lamza Bible, is all of them are, I call them second pathing. So yes, I refer to scripture a great deal, because that is something people can resonate with. Then I refer to numbers, teach us to number our days, and any kind of scripture that you may find throughout my website, because it's what people resonate with, and I have been blessed to take it to the next level. Even to the point that I've done a couple of radio shows of my own with what it means to live, the threefold, mind, body, spirit, what all of this means. So I take the scripture and I break it down, and it's always to spiritual terms.
Right. Now, you obviously have views on the ego self. Do you think with a lot of people it gets in the way of their progress?
Yes, it does. And for instance, what is happening to me since the closer I was coming to this time with you here is I made some connections to some others, people that channel Pleiadene information, and they want to do battle with me about there is no difference. I say, honey, anything I'm talking to you about, I have counsel with spirit. There is a difference than being a Pleiadene human and being a human that could also be an Adashi adept and could also be an elder council member, but you're not a Pleiadene and you're channeling Pleiadene light. There is a difference, and it doesn't mean better. It just has to do with the gene codes. I have a 48-strand DNA pattern, and there will be people on the planet that just throw that in the trash. But there are others that can confirm it. There are. It's about your actual gene codes. Pleiadene humans have special genes. They may have special deviations in their body, and others that are here doing this work can identify you.
Right. In fact, you're getting onto things like our genetic heritage.
Yes.
I read an article not very long ago that indicated that within our DNA, we have numerous links to other civilizations off
That's
Earth.
That's right. Maybe it wasn't your site. It was someone's site that I got hooked up with through my radio station, through my radio show. There was a man that has found a skull, the starchildproject.com or .net. He's found this skull. It's 900 years old and whatever, whatever. So when I found it, the universe said, now get in touch with him because he is a person that would care to know about this Pleiadene human concept because for whatever reason, Barbara Marciniak and Barbara Hanklow and the others that are writing about this, they haven't touched it. Cryon keeps speaking. Lee Carroll keeps speaking when it quote unquote is Cryon. He keeps saying things like, "You won't see the Pleiadians for the few hundred years, and they're only tall and fair skinned." And every time I hear it, it goes through me. And I've written to him, and I've done everything to just get him to understand that that's not congruent with the Cryon energy that speaks to me. So. Of course, the issue is that there's so much information out here. That's why I tell people, counsel with your own God within you to confirm that this is relative to you, it is worthy of you, because it could be worthy. You could have a room full of people, and what I'm speaking is going to be relative to everyone in there, but not everything I speak is relative to everyone. So being able to counsel in your own self, this does two things. All of that old stuff about needing testimonials, I have something on my website called Testimonial Immunity. I am doing something brand new on the planet. So what other people say about it isn't available. What other people say about who I've been and what I've done before isn't relative. So you have to counsel with your God self to determine whether this is ideal for you. And it may be ideal for a minute, and you may become someone that, you know, we walk the rest of the journey together. All of this can be confirmed, and this is what makes me so different from other people. I won't even talk to people, Mike. When people want, why don't you talk to people? Why? Because they'll convince themselves I talk them into using my business. I'm a master marketer, and now I'm conscious. So no, my website has everything you need on it to dig and to dance and to pray and talk to God. And then if you want more, get in touch with me with your money. And it's not about the money. The money reveals that you're saying that you've done enough research to have a good idea that I can really be of service to you.
Right. Yes. Interesting, again, your approach, I must say. Now, you appear to have an interest in numerology, and if that is correct, where does that fit in with your teachings?
Numerology is where I began. And what I encourage your listeners to know, if anyone is 30 or 40 years old and they've been in and out and dabbling with metaphysics, whether they believe in ETs or not, life has landmarks. And just to give you an example, the first time I ever did a psychic show, my son was probably 22. He was in the military, and I'm a New Yorker, so I went down to the Lexington Hotel for this huge psychic fair, and I walked in the door, and I paid and I walked onto the floor, and I was looking around at all these colors and smelling this incense, and someone rushed over and said, "Well, honey, where is your table?" And it was And I was young. I was really crazy. I was really out there in those days. Mm. And spiritual stuff didn't mean anything. So sure enough, Mike, I got a table. By the end, within 2 hours, they gave me a table. And I literally sat there with no tools. I bought some flowers from the table. And people paid me to sit down and tell me, I'm here to tell you you're going to be good at this. So the universe is always doing something to let you know you have something no one else has, and it's your job to now want to know what it is. So, and I look back over the pathways of my life, and that's my biggest message for your audience. There is a pathway. There are landmark things, and it can be, sometimes it can be dark stuff. It doesn't matter, because a lot of our contracts have to do with the very nightmare that we've lived through for 20 years, or worse than that, the very secret that we're still hiding from the world. We were raped as children. Our father did this. Our brother did this. Or the neighbor. And secrets kill. They kill.
Right. Yes, indeed. Now, having mentioned numerology, you said that was one of the things you started with. Do you find it of value when you're dealing with people?
I do. Also, Robert Camp brought in the Destiny cards, which is the regular deck of cards, and it's holy. It is not a toy, but the universe gives you things right in front of your face that are magical. The deck of cards is fabulous. It is the sealed little book in the angel's hand. It is the divine calendar of the soul. So I do services for people that regard it, but I took Robert's system to another level. When I went back to him to ask, let him know what spirit had given me, he told me, no, you can't do that. So we left Robert, because there's no such thing as no in the universe. Human beings can't tell me no and me settle for no if spirit has told me yes. So between the Chaldean numerology and this unusual thing that I do with the divine calendar, I can look into people's energies and tell them what they came to the planet working with, because the symbols that your birth cards and your planetary ruling cards existed from based on your birth date. So if you're now 30 and you're getting a consultation for the first time, you've got to realize that these energies existed from the moment you were born. Where in numerology, I can do a today's energy, a year's energy, a 52-day cycle energy. So there are transient energies, but all of them are nothing but potential and possibility. Because the moment I deliver it to you, what you do or do not do with it is no longer my business. It's about potential. So the numerology lets you know about the energy that your soul agreed to move into and hopefully through and learn how to master yourself.
Yes, so what you're possibly saying there is that the position of the planets and the sun and the moon at the time of your birth does have a great effect on you.
That's correct. It has. As far as people that are wondering if they're Pleiadian or if they're Octarian or God only knows how many other groups there are, people that are born when there are major celestial things going on, when the grand trines, and any people born, people who have astrology, like my astrology, I had in the 10th house, which is the house before the public, I had Mercury, Venus, and Mars. Mercury is the mind, Mars is your action, and Mercury, Venus is your love. The 10th house is the house before the public. So if these all existed from the moment I was born, that means that your destiny, this is where you have natural power that you brought through from another existence, and you picked your parents. You picked your birth date. You may not always pick the exact moment that you're born, but you pick your parents and your birth date. And when I say your parents, I'm not talking about those little human beings that have disappointed you. I'm talking about the souls that counseled with you in accordance with your other agreements to be steward over your soul, and their jobs were all different. Their main job was just to get you into the plane. So no matter how dark and ugly your beginnings were, you need to consider the value of sending them light and blessing them, because they succeeded. You're here.
Yes, indeed. And It's interesting on my part. I have found people getting very concerned about what will happen to family members when in the near future there is a belief that there will be some form of ascension. And they maybe find themselves on a different level of thinking to some of their family, yet they want them to be with them. And I have to very politely point out that you may have provided the body, but the soul is a totally independent thing, and you must allow each soul to go their own way.
I agree 100% because people, one of the major things, like I changed my name in my life, and my mother to this moment, you know, she will not even write it. She, if she's sending me something, my sister has to do the envelope. There's this ownership crap that we've been taught on this planet, and it's crap, and it is killing us. You know, it really and truly is killing us. And another thing that, another reason why a lot of people that are very interested in you and what you do and what I say I do and all of this stuff, it's a soul-level hunger. It's familiar to the soul, but that means they've got to dump a whole bunch of stuff. There are people still trapped in religion because if they told the world that they were like me or like you, their family would disown them.
Yes.
They would kick them out in the curb. And, you know, I've lived a life as a very solitary life these last few years, but as an old soul, you know, being by myself is like what the world would call be like a nun or a priest, being with God all day. So I love being by me because I'm getting to hear all of the aspects of myself speaking to me through me, and I love that. But everyone can't handle that. Some people really believe they need the flesh and the voice and the opinions of everyone. I don't need it. I don't need that. Thank God I don't require that anymore. I just love the light so much that I know the greatest gift that I am to the world is to be in my joy, to cease telling people that they are wrong, and to give them the option to discover where they are right.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some strong suggestions that within possibly the next year or so, the space beings will in fact make some sort of open contact or landing on the Earth. And I think when that happens, it will make people then reflect on their earlier beliefs because they will be faced with beings that they possibly might have thought didn't exist.
I agree. This skull that I was telling you about, that this Pi, his last name is Pi, P-Y-E, I don't remember his first name at the moment, it's not a regular skull. It's the eyes are a little bit closer together than our eyes. The crown of the skull is bigger and whatever. So this will help a great deal. What people do not really get, we have been into Star Trek movies since I was a kid. Well, not a kid, since I was a teenager, a young woman. And what people don't get, Mike, is that these ideas came from somewhere.
Yes.
Now, if ideas like that came from somewhere, and no one's ever questioning where they came from, you see, I don't know that beings, if there are millions of galaxies, not hundreds, there are millions of galaxies. Have I questioned spirit whether any of them really look like these people? I don't know if they look like those people on Star Trek. I just know once our biggest two fatal flaws, our unbelief that we are great and grand and wonderful and bigger than this earthling status, and two, that we are deserving and loving and capable of having the desires of our heart. Those are the two fatal flaws the world system has given us. And until we are willing to doubt that that is correct, we're going to be stuck waiting on the crowd to do this first before we try it. I like being first. I love being first.
Yeah. Well, I think when it happens, and I feel sure it will be a wonderful time because we've been venturing into space for many years now, and it would be nice for the proof of other life beyond Earth to really come to us in a way where it can no longer be denied. And I think the beautiful aspect of it is that by and large, they are benign beings that will come to us in peace, such as your Pleiadians.
The most of the ones that I have read about, because I, you, the drama of the internet is that if you don't counsel with your own higher self about what you are reading, you have no idea if it's true. Absolutely. I read some stuff about the Pleiadians that's saying all kind of stuff that has to do with egotistical people and people that have issues. Well, if those beings are Pleiadians, are from the Pleiades, they're not awake yet, because once you move into even the lowest levels of awakeness, which is really having someone tell you that you're a human Pleiadian is one thing, but playing with it in your own heart, in your own mind, and dissolving all of your unbelief, and then demanding of your God self to show it to me, prove it to me. You understand? We have the authority to do that. How else are we going to know for sure? So regarding your particular mention here, remember that as these things, the government has, we went to the moon long before they told us we went to the moon. The government only is going to tell you a certain segment of people. And one of the major things that I read about the Pleiadians, it said something like, you know, you kind of always know you were strange and you never fit in, and you were supposed to be cruising the back streets of the world, because if you were brought to the attention of the powers that be before it was your time, you'd be knocked off. They'd get rid of you. So there are so many levels of knowledge above us. There are people now in the government, in the U.S. and worldwide, who know that there are motherships. And when it happens in Massey, everyone still won't see it, because as an Adashi Adept, part of my Adashi Adepts are beings that have already ascended into eternal life. They know how to move through dimensions. And when you come back down to Earth, it doesn't matter that you did all of these things. You don't have any knowledge of this, no memory of it at all. So while you're asleep, you're living through the crap that everyone else lives through. And then when you begin to awake, you've got to ask my Pleiadian name is Zula Zule, so I counsel with Zula Zule. And I don't just talk to the Adashi Adept segment and then the Elder Council segment. It's all Zula Zule, because Pleiadian humans are an extension. I am the extension of a group consciousness. This accounts for why I have access to so much wisdom about so many things. You know, they call our little kids that can play piano, and they're two. They can play like, you know, one of the great ones, prodigies. Well, all of those words mean nothing to me. These are beings that were masters and famous in other lives, and they're just bringing it back, and they're bringing it in real early. But they need parents that are awake. These poor kids have not had conscious parents. And that's a problem. I mean,
if we came from dimensions where, shall we term it, the quality of life was joyful and happy, what is the purpose of coming to the Earth?
Well, this is the thing. Ashiana Dean says that the Earth has been a prison planet for about 13,000 years. I didn't counsel the spirit about that, which means that, and dying, dying is not a natural thing. Average Pleiadians live 700 years or something. So dying here in the Earth is not natural. People have been able to leave the Earth with their bodies intact to go do whatever they do throughout the galaxy. So if this is true, if it is accurate that this is a prison planet, people are dying and coming back, dying and coming back. Of course, I never read anything yet where Ashiana speaks of where they go, when they just come and go, but people like myself, and I am an oddity, but I am not. There are lots of them, whether they are as conscious of themselves as I am, or yet or not, they will be, because these are people like myself. We have been through ordeals that are so dramatic. 15 out of 18 people who were not Pleiadian would have taken their life. Because when you begin to awaken on this path, whether you're Pleiadian or not, when you begin to awaken, and then the universe causes you to have to confront the fact that you agreed to come here and be asleep, that is something to deal with when you learn also that you are a universally acclaimed being for the kind of work you do all over the galaxy. Coming to Earth, it has something to do with the joy. I have great joy. It says that we have deep and burning joy at helping people evolve their consciousness. This is something that I am adept at. I understand all of the crap that keeps us away from our divinity, and the universe has gifted me with something no one's doing on the planet to help people bridge the gap without digging through their history. So if I can connect you to the fact that you are a minimum of 9 dimensions deep, and all 9 dimensions of you are doing the same thing at different octaves and different planes, and this is the lowest, you can commandeer reality and demand of that one that's at the highest level to send you down some money, some resources, whatever you think that you require, it's all yours. But if you don't know how to commandeer reality, no, if you don't believe that this is real, you can't do it. If you don't believe that you're absolutely wealthy beyond your wildest imaginings, which has nothing to do with earthly money, you can't do it. But if you have a mustard seed of belief and you intend to believe, set the intention to believe, that's your beginning.
Yes. Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that. Now, nothing clearly happens by chance if we have contracts, as you have mentioned. Mm-hmm. But in that case, where does our free will still come in?
Okay, I got to quote my friend. She's Ruth Evelyn. Her name is Ruth Evelyn. She is now doing, she's been published in the Sedona Journal for a few months, and her work is taking off. I'm going to read, this is her words. Her name is Ruth Evelyn at ruthevelyn.com. We're doing separate work, but this is what she, it's called the hierarchy of energy. This is what the hierarchy of energy is, and it's so clear, and I've confirmed it with Spirit 100 times. This is the hierarchy of energy. Divine contracts trump higher agreements. Higher agreements trump natal charts. Natal charts trump free will. Free will trumps logic. Logic trumps social norm. And social norm trumps social conformity. This is the hierarchy of divine law for the path in the human game. And it is so, so clear. It is just, and again, folks, talk to your God self. It is real, because free will is, you see, it's not at the top and it's not at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Free will is right in the middle. It's in
now,
the middle.
Now you're making it difficult, yes.
It's in the middle. So with all, like, there'll be people that come to me. This is why I don't care for what metaphysicians are doing on the planet. If you're a real psychic, an authentic psychic, and I come to you, whether it's on the phone or in person, and you don't spend at least 3 minutes talking to me to get a feel for where my consciousness level is at, you're giving me nothing. You understand? You're giving me something that a typical person that goes to a psychic sits there and they get all this good news, and then they go home and they cross their legs and they think magic is supposed to happen. And that's not how you talk to an enlightened person, because I do have touchstones. I do reach out to others. Sometimes there's something the universe wants to bless me with through another person who has gifts completely different from mine, but they recognize the light. When I call into their shows, they feel it. They sense it. And as authoritative and strong as my voice is, they have no doubt that the ego is in service to my soul self, because the ego personality part of you is the part that makes you who you are when it's surrendered to the work. So astrology and the cards that I use in numerology can give me and the person a good feel for the nightmares of their life, where they are weak, where they are strong, where they are headed, and it covers your entire life cycle. So it can help you identify yourself better, but it is not the fiesta resistance of what's available to you on the planet.
Right. Now, Vaz, we're getting on so well here. We're coming up to the last about 4 minutes of the program before I have to announce next week's guest. Sure. So would you like to give the listeners your website details and any other information that would be useful?
Yes, certainly I would, and I thank you. First, I thank you for the opportunity to be here, because getting the information planted in the ethers is the key thing, and then people will do what they do. So my website is called The ELF. The Enlightened Life Facilitator is shortened by saying The ELF, T-H-E hyphen, E like enlightened, L for life, F for facilitator, theelf.us, theelf.us. And just go there. Go there with a clear spirit, land, and ask spirit to just move through page one. If you do nothing else, listen to the audio on the landing page that explains in depth how come I know you. And from there, the universe will tell you what to do, because it's not always about your money. Some people only need a word. Others need a lifetime of help. I'm there for both.
Yes, and I can feel the enthusiasm and energy that you put into your work. There is no doubt, as you say, sound or our voices tell quite a bit to each other. Yes, and I'm very, very much pleased to have had you on the program. It's been very interesting. Your approach is certainly somewhat different to some other people, but that, so I think, is very refreshing in its own way. So thank you very, very much for coming on to the program.
Thank you.
I do the archives a couple of days after the program, so I will make sure that your website address is there in case someone sort of missed getting it down during the program. So
thank you,
Vajrayana.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Been very,
thank
very
you.
Pleasant.
And you be blessed, and it's just wonderful that you're here doing this, exposing people to light. I love it. Connecting the light is what you do very well.
Thank you very much. Right, friends, again, we have a very interesting guest. Next week I will have Hilary Ramo. She is, as she describes herself, an empathic intuitive. She's a writer, certified spiritual counselor, and an ordained non-denominational minister. And she's into Reiki, and she's a member of the Sisters of Honua. So, again, we've got a very interesting guest coming up. So thank you for being with me today. I do hope you can make it with us next week. Thank you very much, and God bless you all. Thank you.